Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue our readings in Umdat al-Ahkam by the great Imam al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. He died in the year 600, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Reading from Kitab al-Salah, the book of As-Salah, and we complete the chapter the author he has mentioned, Bab al-Suhuf, inshallah. In this class we read the final narration that the author he has mentioned in the chapter of the rows and ranks in the Salah. And he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma annahu qal, bittu inda khalati maymunata رضي الله عنها فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل فقمت عن يساره فأخذ برأسي فأقامني عن يمينه. The author رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. He says, I spent the night with my khala. With my khala. The khala is the aunt from the mother's side, al-khala. He says, I spent the night with tu inda khalati maymuna. Maymuna. He said, I spent the night with my aunt Maymuna. With my aunt Maymuna. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood up to pray in the night time, meaning the night prayer. So I stood on his left side, and he took me by my head, and he stood me on his right side. And he stood me on his right side. He said, so I stood on his left side, and he took me by the head, and he stood me on his right side. On his right side, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhumah. And he is from the noble companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from his family. And he is Abu al-Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, his kunya is Abu al-Abbas. And he is Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalibi al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. He's from the tribe and the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's known as Habru al-Ummah, yani the great scholar of this ummah. You know, he's also the faqih and the well-versed in the knowledge of the Sharia and the understanding of the jurisprudence and the halal and the haram. Also, he is known as Turjuman al-Quran radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he is also known as Turjuman al-Quran, the interpreter of the Quran, the interpreter of the Quran. And he is from those companions who have the most knowledge with regards to the interpretation and the explanation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he was born before the hijrah by 3 years. He was born before hijrah by 3 years. So that means he was approximately 13 years old whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he died. So likewise, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he supplicated for him to grant him knowledge and understanding in the deen. And it has come in the Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Allahumma faqihhu fi ddeen wa'allimhu at-ta'wil. O Allah, grant him understanding in the deen and teach him the interpretation of the book. So we see that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was nearing the age of puberty. He had not yet reached the age of puberty, but he was close to that. And this is the situation of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a young boy before the age of puberty. He was a young boy before the age of puberty. But even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had reached great ranks and heights in knowledge and in virtue and in worship and ibadah and status and rank in piety and righteousness And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to bring him close to him and keep him near him and even allow him while he was a young boy to sit in his gatherings. And he would also seek advice and consultation from him. And the likes like this. And Umar, he's from the great companions and from the elders and the old men of the companions radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's a young boy. Even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Umar, he's still a young man, a very young man. But he was known for his strong mind and heart likewise, and for his intelligence and for his understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and for his understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was asked one time, how did you obtain all of this knowledge? How did you obtain all of this knowledge? So he said, radiallahu anhu, he says, bilisanin sa'ul wa qalbin aqul. Bilisanin sa'ul wa qalbin aqul. That I obtained this knowledge by having a tongue that asks lots of questions. A tongue that is always asking lots of questions. The person who asks lots of questions, meaning he has a diligence and a desire to know the truth, and he's seeking for the truth and the evidence of the truth. So therefore, this is from the means of obtaining knowledge, to ask questions. وَقَلْبٍ عَقُولٍ, and a heart that is comprehensive and understanding, intelligent, an intelligent heart and mind, and to think deeply about the affairs and try to understand them and comprehend them properly, and connect the issues with their evidences and the likes like this. This is from the greatest means of obtaining knowledge. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he died in Ta'if. He died in Ta'if in the year 68 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one who led the prayer on him is Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. And this is from the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. So we see that Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, bittu 'inda khalati Maymuna. He says, I spent the night with my khala, Maymuna. Maymuna, she is Maymuna bintu al-Harith al-Hilaliyyah radiallahu anha. And her sister is al-Fadl, the wife of al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And al-Fadl, her name is Lubaba. Lubaba bint al-Harith radiallahu anha, and her kunya is al-Fadl. And this is the mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So Lubaba bint al-Harith, her sister is Maymuna bint al-Harith radiallahu anhuma, and Lubaba, she is the wife of al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thus she is the mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum jami'an. Her sister Maymuna bint al-Harith, she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet, he married her in Dhil Qa'dah, in the seventh year after the hijrah. And she is the last of the women for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to marry. She is the last of his wives that he married in the end of his life. In the seventh year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he married Maymuna bint al-Harith radiallahu anha. And she was known for piety and righteousness. And she was known even amongst her co-wives in this manner. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she praised her greatly, and she mentioned about her, innaha kanat min atqana lillahi wa awsalina lirrahim, that she was from the most pious of us, and the one who feared Allah the most from amongst us, yani from amongst the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was the one who feared Allah the most. This is the testimony of Aisha for her radiallahu anha. So she says, كانت إنها كانت من أتقانا لله وأوصلنا للرحم. She was the one who feared Allah the most from amongst us, and from those who kept the closest ties to her relatives. رضي الله عنها وعن الصحابة أجمعين. She died in the year 51 after the hijrah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the time of Muawiyah رضي الله عنه. So we see now a better picture of the circumstance and situation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's spending the night with his aunt, Maymuna, who is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now he's staying in the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's staying with his aunt, but he's really striving and hoping to spend the night with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see how he worships Allah in the nighttime. And this is his intention, and this is what he has mentioned himself, radiyallahu anhu, that he says, لا أنام حتى أنظر ما يصنع في الصلاة الليل. He said, I'm not going to sleep until I see what he does in the night prayer. Until I see what he does in the night prayer. I'm not going to go to sleep until I see what he does, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the night prayer. So he said, I spent the night with my aunt Maymuna, and this is his intention, and to see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to spend the evening. And likewise, it has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim that he said, radiyallahu anhu, he told his aunt, he said, إِذَا قَامَ الرَّسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأَيْقِذِينِي, that if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets up in the middle of the night, then wake me up. And this is from his strong determination, radiyallahu anhu, and his desire to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to learn the sunnah, and to be upon his path, and to follow him precisely, and to know his inward affairs and outward affairs, and outside and with the people he sees them often, but inside of his home he wants to learn the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, he's a young boy. He was 13 when the Messenger died, so he was maybe in his between 10 and 13 approximately years old, radiyallahu anhu, at this time. And a young boy, he's in the age of tamyiz, but he's diligent. He wants to learn how the Prophet, he prayed the night prayer. He wants to learn what is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing in his house at nighttime and the likes like this. So this is from the diligence of the companions to learn, even from the youngest amongst them. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, فَقَامَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِيُصَلِّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَقَامَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِيُصَلِّيَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood up to stand for the night prayer. And he مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and he from some of the night. He didn't stand the whole night. And he, because men here, the people of knowledge, they mention tufid wa tab'id. At-tab'id. مِنَ التَّبْعِيدِيَّ. That it means any some of the night. He prayed min al-layl, any ba'd al-layl, a portion of the night. Likewise, what has been mentioned in Sahih Bukhari about this narration, that he said, fanama hatta intasafa al-layl aw qariban minhu, that he slept until the middle of the night, or close to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about his Prophet and those who follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَكُومُ أَدَنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. Verily, your Lord knows that you do stand to pray at night a little less than two-thirds of the night, or half of the night, or a third of the night, and also a group of those along with you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would stand sometimes in the middle of the night, and then other times into the last third of the night, or he would stand sometimes two-thirds of the night, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In any case, he was a devout slave and thankful to his Lord. And from that is that he would establish the night prayer. So likewise, it has come in Al-Bukhari and Muslim that from the benefits of this narration, that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he is narrating to the Ummah, and in that it is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would do at night. And in this narration, the author, he just mentioned the brief wording, and that is in order to establish the evidence that for this chapter, and that is that the imam, if one person prays with the imam, then he will stand right next to him. But this narration has many wordings, and there are many benefits that come along with these wordings, and from them is this narration in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, فَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ النَّوْمَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up to stand for the night prayer, but he started to wipe the sleep from his face with his hands. And another wording also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet that he said that radiyallahu anhu fakharaja fanadhara fi as-sama'i thumma tala hadhihi al-ayat. And then he left and he looked up into the sky, and then he recited these verses. So here we have an additional benefit of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he would do whenever he woke up. He would wake up and he would wipe the sleep from his face. And also in this one wording that he look up in the sky and then he would recite these verses. And the verses are ثُمَّ قَرَّ الْآيَاتِ الْعَشَرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ آلِ عِمْرَانِ. So then he would look up into the sky, wipe the sleep from his face, and he would recite, or he would wipe the sleep from his face sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and look up into the sky and then recite the last 10 verses of Ali Imran, the last 10 verses of the third chapter of the Quran. He says hatta khatama, until he finished them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma ata shannan mu'allaqan, and then he came to a water holder that is hanging. Fa'akhadahu fatawadda'a, and then he took it and he made wudu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one wording, fa'ahsan al-wudu, he made a very good wudu, he did the wudu in an excellent manner. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma qama yusalli faqumtu fasana'atu mithla ma sana'a. He said, and then he stood up to pray. So this whole time Abdullah bin Abbas, he's watching all of this, radiyallahu anhumah, he's observing all of this. And then he says, and then the Prophet, he stood up to pray. He said, so then I got up myself and I did the exact same thing. Yani, I did the exact same thing. And what is apparent is that he did the exact same thing. He wiped his face, he looked up, he recited the same verses, he made wudu in the same manner, he came and stood into the prayer, and then the narration continues similar to the wording that we have. It is as thumma jittu. Then I came and I stood on his left side. And this is the portion of the narration that is the evidence for the author in this chapter. فَقُمْتُ عَنْ يَسَارِهِ, and I stood on his left side. فَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِي فَأَقَامَنِي عَنْ يَمِينِي, and he took me by my head and he stood me on the right side. And it has come also in some wordings of this narration is in Sahih Bukhari, min wara'i, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took him behind him, he took him by his head from behind him. Also, what is mentioned with regards to this narration is that Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that sometimes he would fall sleepy in the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would grab him by his earlobe, and he would move his earlobe a little bit to wake him up, and he very gently and nicely. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, I knew that he was doing this in order to make me feel comfortable and to help me wake up and to be nice to me in the prayer like this, because he's a very young boy, and he radiyallahu anhu, and he's been waiting all night long, staying up and waiting to see, fighting sleep to see what is the Prophet going to do sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner. And then whenever he stood up to pray with him. Where did he go? He went on his left side. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took him by his head and put him behind his back until he came onto his right side. And then if he would fall sleepy and the likes in the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would grab him by his ear and move his ear lightly, his earlobe, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his beautiful manner, teaching him and helping him and reminding him to wake up and to not doze off, and the likes like this in the prayer, in a beautiful manner and in a nice manner, subtly, not harshly or rudely. And this is the way of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to teach those people who make mistakes gently, and to teach the people who are ignorant, or who do something unintentionally or out of ignorance and the likes like this, or not aware, to remind them in a beautiful tone or beautiful voice or in a beautiful manner, in a beautiful way, with conduct that is lofty and beneficial and good. lofty and beneficial and good. So he says, radiyallahu anhu fa'aqamani an yaminihi. So he stood me on his right side. And some word is fa'ja'alani an yaminihi. So he made me or put me on his right side. He put me on his right side. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in Fath al-Bari, he has some benefits with regards to this portion here. He says, وَظَّهِرُهُ الْمُسَاوَاتِ وَظَّهِرُهُ الْمُسَاوَاتِ. And he stood me on his right side. And this is the evidence here for the chapter of As-Suhuf and the ranks. And this is to clarify that the Imam, if one person prays with him, he will stand on his right side. And he will stand directly next to him, not going forward nor behind him or not away from him whatsoever. He will stand right next to him. And this is the issue here. Ibn Hajar, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَظَهِرُهُ الْمُسَاوَاتِ. What is apparent from this narration? He stood me on his right side, or he put me on his right side, is that they stood precisely on the same rank and on the same level. That they were equal and they were parallel. And he mentioned a narration from Abdul Razak, narrating from Ibn Jurayj, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned that he asked Ata, and he said, الرجل يصلي مع الرجل أين يكون منه. A man, he will pray along with another man, and they're praying together, only two of them. Where would he stand from him, or what position will he be with regards to him? قال إلى شقه الأيمن. He will be on his right side. He said to now Ibn Jurayj, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says to him now, أيحاذي به حتى يصف معه ولا يفوت أحد من آخر. And would he be parallel with him until he'll be on the exact same rank with him, and there will, and then he will, not one of them will be in front of the other. قال نعم. He said yes. And then he asked again, just to clarify even more detail. أتحب أن يساويه حتى لا تكون بينهما فرجة. Or do you prefer that he will be exactly next to him, precisely, so that there will not be any gaps between them whatsoever? قال نعم. قال نعم. He said yes. He said yes. And Ibn Hajar, likewise, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that in the Muwatta, it has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Utbah, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'udin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, دَخَلْتُ عَلَى عُمَرِ ibn Khattab بِالْهَاجِرَةِ فَوَجَدْتُهُ يُسَبِّحُ. He said, I entered upon Umar ibn Khattabi radiallahu anhuma bilhajira, yani in the time of Dhuhr. He said, and I saw him making a nafil prayer, praying a non-obligatory prayer. Fawajadtuhu, or I found him, fawajadtuhu yusabbihu. I found him praying a non-obligatory prayer. Faqumtu wara'ahu. So I stood behind him. فَقَرَّبَنِي حَتَّى جَعَلَنِي حِذَاءَهُ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. And then he drew me near to him until he made me stand parallel with him on his right side. So therefore, this is the proper understanding of this narration. He stood me on his right side, meaning directly next to him. And this is the understanding of the Salaf. And beginning with them, Umar. And he's from Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidin. From those who were commanded to follow them and follow their way, radiyallahu anhum wa as-sahabati ajma'in. And likewise the tabi'een after that, they understood this way as well, that the imam, if he prays with one person, the ma'mum, he will stand beside him directly. The ma'mum, the one who is praying with the imam, he will stand beside the imam directly. So therefore, this is from the greatest benefits of this narration with regards to this chapter, that the ma'mum, the one who prays along with the imam, if there's only one of them, he will stand on the right of the imam. He will stand on the right of the imam, and the imam will not be forward, or there will not be any gaps, rather they will be on the exact same rank, and they will be parallel together, foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration that if the ma'mum were to pray on the left side of the imam, his prayer is correct. This is not recommended, but the prayer is correct. If a man, he prayed on the left side of the imam, then his prayer is correct. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't command Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma to restart his prayer. Rather, he moved him to that which is better. And the prayer continued. So therefore, the prayer on the left side is correct, although it's recommended and preferred and better for the person praying along with the imam, if he's only one person, to be on the right side. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, barakallahu fikum, is that to move in the prayer a little bit in order to adjust the prayer or to correct the prayer or for the benefit of the prayer, this is something that will not harm, it will not harm the prayer. Rather, it's recommended. Rather, it's recommended. So although the prayer is correct for the person to pray on the left side, it's better for him to be on the right side. So therefore, the Prophet, he moved him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the prayer. So likewise, we benefit from that, that it's legislated likewise to move sometimes in the prayer for the benefit of the prayer, like to close the gate, to close the ranks, or to straighten the ranks, or to close the gaps, and the likes like this, or benefits in this manner, that is from the best interest and from the benefit of the prayer. And from that, likewise, moving to close the phone. Some of those believers who forget their phones open, and they leave them open, and then it starts ringing in the middle of the prayer. And the likes like this, yani, they should hasten to stop that and to close that phone. And they should even be more diligent to not do that or bring the phone into the masjid or at least have it on vibrate whenever they come to the prayer or enter the house of Allah. But in any case, if it occurred, then it's legislated to move. And moving is allowed. Rather, it's recommended for a person to move in order to fix this this issue and to correct this issue. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that it's permissible to have a congregational prayer for the non-obligatory prayer, but this is something that the scholars recommend not to be done all the time. Not to be done all the time. But if there was a reason or a benefit with regards to that to pray a non-obligatory prayer in congregation, then it's permissible. Likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration that the person who did not intend to be the imam, he can become an imam if a person joins him later and the prayer is correct for both of them in this manner. And the prayer is correct for both of them in this manner. And likewise, we see also from the benefits of this narration, the people of knowledge, they mention that the smallest congregation for a congregational prayer is two people. And also from the benefits of this narration, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the congregation, it even occurs and it is established by an imam and one child who has not reached the age of puberty, but he has reached the age of tamyiz. A small child who reached the age of tamyiz, if he prays along with the imam, then this is considered a congregation. Alhamdulillah. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see the situation of the salaf. We see the situation before that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and those after them upon piety and righteousness, that they had a great concern for the night prayer. Even this young boy at this time, Abdullah bin Abbas, he's a young boy, not even of the age of puberty, radiallahu anhuma, and he's diligent to learn how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he prayed the night prayer. He said, "La anamu hatta anzura ma yasna'u fi salati al-layl." He said, "I'm not going to sleep until I see what he does with regards to the night prayer." So also we see from this the diligence of the Salaf in general and of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in general with regards to seeking knowledge, with regards to talib al-ilm, that he was diligent. Even it's mentioned that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abdullah bin Abbas used to go to the houses of the companions, and he would go to one of them at the time of dhuhr, and he would wait there, and he would sleep at his door, and he would wait for one of the companions from the Ansar, and he would rest at the door of that companion and not disturb him in that time, and wait for him to come out, and then whenever he would come out, he would ask him questions and benefit from him. And this is from the diligence of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma to learn. And whenever it would be mentioned that the man would come out from the Ansar, for example, would come out and say, "Oh, the nephew of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why didn't you knock on my door?" And he would tell him, "Because I didn't want to disturb you, and I wanted you to come out with your heart is content and ready so that I can ask you in a good manner." So this is all from the good manners of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum and his diligence to learn, and his honor for the people of knowledge, and his honor and his respect for the people of knowledge radiallahu anhu. Also from the benefits of this narration, we see again the great benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam having more than one wife, having a number of wives, and that is so that there can be more people who have contact with him and come into contact with him and have relationships with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have seen previous classes where there were situations where a brother or a family member from one of his wives would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something in his private affairs, and he would narrate that to the ummah, like we have seen with regards to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he was with regards to the sunnah al-rawatib, that he learned about the two sunnah of the fajr from his sister. And there are other instances like this too, but this is from the wisdom and from the benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having many wives and many different relationships and people being connected with him and learning from him and benefiting from him in his public life and in his private life. And this is because sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the seal of all prophets, and there's no prophet after him. Therefore, it's a great benefit for him to have many people in contact with him, to see him in all different aspects and situations of his life, to narrate his sunnah, to narrate his way, and to narrate the guidance that was revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the ummah. And this is just the case. And likewise, the final benefit we close with, based upon that, the diligence of the companions to learn the sunnah and to narrate and to transmit that to the ummah. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.